Okay, everyone. Good evening. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Afdal salat wa atamu taslim. Ala ashrafil anbiya'i sayyidil mursalin nabiyyina habibina shafi'ina qurrati a'yunina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. Welcome everyone to our second session of this essentials course. So we have got the responsibility of taking the Hanafi wing of Wise Academy. This is the English branch of it. Alhamdulillah, we had a very good session last week. And what I covered was, I think everyone should be able to see the screen, but we covered belief in Allah from the absolute essentials of Islam. And it's this book, for those of you who joined us, perhaps for the first time, the absolute essentials of Islam. And this has been compiled by Sheikh Faraz Rabbani, hafidhahullah. He's at Seekers. Many people are familiar with the Sheikh and his work that he's been doing over at least the last couple of decades. And it's based on, the book is loosely based on the book that was in Turkish but then translated into Arabic, Islah Ilm al-Hal. And so it's compiled from there. It's in mukhtasar form from that book. It's in summary form from that book. And what we did is we went over the belief in Allah part, and what we will cover today is belief in the angels, belief in the books, and we may start belief in the messengers. So I'm not too fussed if we go through these three, but you know, it's not really a rush. We will go through it however long it takes. And so what we will do, normally the sessions are, I want to talk for as minimum as possible, and then we have questions on the section that we cover in the lesson. Now, what I also thought I'd do, and I forgot to mention this last session, was before we begin the new session, I'll give some time if there were any questions from the previous session, in case people had anything they were reading, or something that wasn't clear that I'd mentioned, or if there was any mistakes, you know, things like that. We should leave a segment for that, and then we can begin the designated section for today. So what I'll do then today is give ourselves that, you know, sort of a good, at least, you know, 5 minutes plus at least for us to sort of warm up. Maybe if there's any questions regarding this topic, the topic that we covered last week, belief in Allah, if there's any questions remaining from there, or any comments people had, anything they want to share, please feel free. We'll make this segment ours, and then we will begin the designated section for today's lesson. So we covered belief in Allah last week, and I just want to reiterate: remember, we are doing the essentials. So there are lots of details which are not part of this particular course, and so you know, we're not going into the very details, the theological details, or the philosophical arguments for the creedal axioms, i.e. the fundamental tenets of the aqidah of Islam. This essentials book is not an apologetics book. It's not an apologetics book. It's not a book that, you know, that is there to defend doctrine, mu'taqadat, and it's not a book for repelling doubts, radd ash-shubuhat. It's not that kind of book. So those books are found in the works of ilmul kalam, the science of rational theology, and in the books of the philosopher, the books of the philosophers. Although I did last week, I did go on to, give some kind of explanation that was sort of theological, philosophical in nature. Some of it I'll be doing today as well, but we're not, you know, that's not our focus. All right, sorry. So for any questions on last week's session on belief in Allah, what did we cover? We covered, let me just mention. Yeah, we covered the what it means to believe in Allah. And then some ways of understanding Allah's attributes and what they mean. And some sort of explication of that. The main conclusion really from that section is one must understand that, and I think this is important, the mind can arrive at belief in Allah Azza wa Jal, the wujud of Allah Azza wa Jal. The mind can arrive at the existence, belief in the existence of Allah. That's a camera, Papa. Yeah, it's a camera. Okay, I'll move it after, inshallah. Thank you. So I'll do it tomorrow. So the belief in Allah Azza wa Jal, the wujud of Allah Azza wa Jal, the mind can arrive at that conclusion. The aql can grasp the existence of the wujud of Allah Azza wa Jal, the fact that there is a transcendent, uncaused creator of all reality, because reality is finite, limited, needy, weak, dependent, etc., etc., because it exhibits these properties. But the mind cannot understand the essence of Allah Azza wa Jal, and it can't understand the attributes of Allah, because the mind, these are not realities the mind grasps in order to make a judgment about it. So for example, you and I can sense, for example, we can sense books, we can sense trees, cars, we can sense objects around us in the phenomenal world. And so we can make judgments about these objects, whether these objects that are under our hawas al-khamsa, our five senses, whether our judgments are right or wrong or sound or unsound. Irrespective of that, we can make a judgment because they're realities that we can sense. But because the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal are not realities that we can sense, they're not mahsusa, right? They're not sensible. We're unable to make judgments about it. So we rely on revelation. What the mind can do, the mind then can make some inferences based on certain principles. So if revelation says Allah Azza wa Jal is one, and the universe is monocausal, or is caused by one transcendent being, then the mind can make some rational inferences that this cause cannot be like the effect and things like that, but it cannot get into the character or the nature of the cause. That has to come from revelation. And so what we're going to see now is this particular point when it comes to belief in the malaika and the belief in the previous books or the revelation and what they contain, because none of us have sensed these things. None of us have sensed the malaika, and none of us have sensed the previous books, the books from the previous times. So these are far apart of the immediately unseen. So this is where we're going to move into now, these two elements of the creed, and we'll be explicating some of that today, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So that was just a side point that I wanted to make. So the thing to bear in mind is that the mind can arrive at the existence of Allah Azza wa Jal, and because the existence of Allah is something which is mahsus, is hissi, is sensible, you can come to a conclusion that reality is finite. And so once we do that, then certain truths can only be known by if we're informed by it, by someone or the being who has knowledge of that, of certain. So the realms that we're unable to sense, the mind is unable to reach. We need sources, individuals, agents, beings that can inform us about that reality, that nonsensible reality. And one of these types of beings are angels. Of course, Allah informs us about the ghaib, but He informs us through causes, through means, through asbab. Okay, so let me stop there. Let me see if there's any questions before from last session. Otherwise, we'll move on to today's session. I was rambling on a bit. Okay, well, if there's, while people are gathering their thoughts, logging in and collecting any questions they might have, let's then move on to the sections of our talk, of our session today. Okay, so the Sheikh mentions the second article of belief in the angels. This is to believe in the existence of Allah's angels. They are honored servants of Allah who do not disobey Him and do as they are commanded. They are not characterized by gender, nor do they eat or drink. Each angel has been given a service to perform, and among them are the higher angels and the messenger angels. Now, if you look in the text, it says, قَوْلُهُ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ يَعْنِي آمَنْتُ وَصَدَّقْتُ أَيْضًا بِالْمَلَائِكَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And then there's belief in the angels, which means آمَنْتُ, and I have utter conviction in the existence of angels, the angels of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَأْكُلُونَ. And that the fact that they are not beings that eat. ولا يشربون, and they don't drink anything. ولا يتصفون بذكورة ولا أنوثة. They are not gendered beings. Angels are not gendered beings. ولا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون, from Surah Al-Tahrim. Yeah. So that's what it means to believe in the angels. They are the kind of beings that are they have a metaphysical nature, and as it mentions in the commentary, this metaphysical nature is, they are bodies, ajsamun latifatun nuraniyatun مبرؤون من الكدورات الجسمانية. They are bodies, but they are subtle bodies that are created out of light. Created out of light. And they do not have, the angels don't have all the, how can we say, all the trappings that us, that we have in terms of our physical bodies. They do not. They don't suffer those, you know, the kind of things that we suffer by having a body. So they must have a different kind of body. So the angels exist in a realm beyond the physical world. Although the angels do interact with, human beings, and so. These beings are said to be, to have no physical form in the sense that we have a form, i.e. in their original created form, and they're made out of light. They're not believed to be eternal. They're not eternal beings. They're created beings. And some say they are not unchanging. Some say they are changing. But in their original creation, that nature is unchanging. Now, whether they need to take a particular form and change, they transmute, that is, of course, up to Allah and for what purpose Allah wants them to change their form. And as I mentioned, that they're not subject to the same limitations as human beings. In the commentary, it's interesting. It mentions that there is a khawas. There are general angels and there are specific angels. So there's a hierarchy of angels. So some are more powerful and closer to Allah than others. And we know Jibreel alayhi salam, the foremost angel, and one of his duties alayhi salam is for revealing Allah's messages or communicate to his prophets and messengers alayhi salam. You got the angel Mikael, responsible for protecting, supporting the believers, also their rizq, their sustenance. There's Azrael, who's often equated with the Malakul Maut, the one who's in charge of taking life. Israfil, the one who heralds the end, the destruction of the world for blowing the trumpet and things like that. So you have angels that are identified with some key work, some key function. And maintenance of the universe, because they carry out Allah Azza wa Jalla's will. They are constantly in the presence of the divine. They are a host to Allah's, in Allah's presence. And they are obedient. They never disobey. Angels can perform supernatural acts, like acts, miracles, supernatural interventions into the world. For example, in Battle of Badr, the angels that assisted the Sahaba and the Prophet, the army of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So they make interventions into the natural world, even though they're supernatural beings. And they have knowledge of the unseen that Allah gives them for them to then convey to whomever Allah wishes to, for them to convey it to. I.e. knowledge from the unseen, yeah, by Allah's permission. Angels also record Allah's deeds, the deeds for Allah, good and bad. Obviously, these are their functions. Allah knows everything in his creation, but he works through this elaborate intermediary. And angels will then, be the one that discloses what we do, what we've done in this world. So the commentator mentioned here, the author mentions here, وَأَفْضَلُ الْمَلَائِكَةَ جِبْرِيلُ وَأَزْرَائِيلُ وَإِسْرَافِيلُ وَمِكَائِيلُ عَلَيْهِمَ السَّلَامُ. So Gabriel, Azrael, Israfil, and Michael, these are some of the senior angels. So there is a hierarchy amongst the angels. Whether the hierarchy is sequential, so Jibreel, and then after Jibreel, let's say Mikael alayhi salam, and then after Mikael, another angel, whether it's the hierarchy is structural like that, or whether it's just hierarchy in terms of groups, group hierarchy in terms of the angels. So you have classes of angels, and then there's a hierarchy amongst the class. There's some difference of opinion. But it's interesting that you find that the Malaika are sometimes categorized as being the khawas, the special angels, and the ghair khawas, the non-special. And the khawas, the elite or the special, are the four angels we mentioned, Jibreel, alayhi salam, Mikael, Azrael, and Israfil. They're considered to be the khawas, the elite, yeah, the special class of angels. And then you've got the non-elite or non-special angels. So khas and ghair khawas. What was the other point that I wanted to mention? Now it's interesting, just on this point. Now, you won't get, to my knowledge anyway, in Islam, you don't get fully fledged philosophical proofs for the existence of angels. I just mention this as a side point. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. And the reason being is because belief in angels is a textual, is a belief based on text. You see, once you've established that Allah exists and the Quran is the truthful word of Allah Azza wa Jalla, it's the miraculous word of Allah, and you need messengers, then whatever that becomes your foundation. Now, whatever that foundation points to or establishes as being true, then it's sufficient for us to believe it. So once we establish that the Quran is a miraculous word of Allah, then whatever the Quran contains about matters seen and unseen is sufficient for us to believe it, because the Quran said so. Why? Because the Quran has been established on rational proof. Can you see? Because the foundation, these three foundational beliefs are sound, then what these beliefs contain will be sound as well. We can't establish the kalam of Allah being miraculous and then we say, oh, the contents of this book is false. That's a contradiction. Whatever it contains is true, and it's sufficient for us to believe it. We don't need any other evidence. So angels, the belief in angels is like that. We don't need further philosophical proof, because we don't need any rational proof, because the basis, the source from which our belief has come from is shara, is sama, is revelation. And we've established revelation to be true. So whatever it contains is sufficient for us to believe. Now, whether, you know, there are good philosophical arguments for why angels exist, I don't think so. I don't think there are, you know, you're not going to get a watertight proof. And they're not really philosophical proofs, in my opinion. They're more like explanations for why there might be such kinds of beings, i.e. the mind can make some kind of inference as to such beings as angels, once we've understood what they're defined as existing, because the mind makes analogies with things we see in the world. So a ruler carries out things through delegation, right? A minister carries things out through delegation. A monarch carries things out through delegation. There's an elaborate set of people that work under, let's say, a monarch, a president, a prime minister, or a minister in his or her ministerial office, or even a judge. So the mind can make analogies and say, well, if Allah exists, then it's possible for him to use created agents to do his bidding. There's nothing irrational about that or impossible about it. But that will be a speculation of the mind. Can you see? That's not a proof that angels exist, right? Because we had to get the belief from scripture. We had to derive the belief from scripture. And so that point, I think, is important to mention. There's no rigorous philosophical argument, like we've got arguments for the existence of God. Again, why? Because the reality of angels, once we know what they are or what they're defined to be, we can see that the mind, they're not sensible. They're not immediately sensible objects for you to make a hukum on something, for you to judge something as being the case or not being the case. So if I have my mobile phone in front of me, I can make a judgment about it because I can see it, I can touch it, it's coming under my senses. And so whether my judgments are accurate or not would depend on how much prior information I've got about the object that is before me, and how and the reliability and the strength of my prior information, because I want to use that prior information to make a judgment on the object before me. But I haven't got that kind of information regarding angels, because I haven't got the direct sensation of them. So the mind can't make these intimate judgments. It has to derive the belief of such entities from a source, a revelatory source, i.e. Allah Azza wa Jal, or prophets. Now, what I think can be argued What I think can be argued, what the mind can judge, though, generically, a mind can make a hukum, a mind can make a judgment, a rational judgment, a qada aqli or hukum aqli, that it's possible for entities that are not extended in space, i.e. non-physical entities, to exist. So as a generic class of things that are non-physical, they exist. The mind can come to that conclusion. It is possible that such class of entities exist, i.e. any entity that is non-extended in space. Is that rational to believe in? Yeah, it's possible. How is it possible? Well, let's look at ourselves. There are many non-physical things that you possess and I possess that are part of us, and the nature is non-physical. Things like thoughts, dreams, yeah? These are not extended in space. Your thoughts are not extended in space. There's not a unit of measurement for your thoughts. Things like that. So the mind can come to a conclusion, an inference that it's possible for non-physical entities to exist. Angels are non-physical entities. Therefore, it's possible that entities such as angels exist. The mind can make some kind of judgment like that, for sure. For sure. But the character of these angels and their properties, we will never know unless we're informed about them, because they're not something within our senses. They're not something within our senses. Then you find in the books of theology whether angels are superior to human beings or the human beings are superior to angels. So here's a little section here which the commentator mentions. Let me just try and get a better straight line from this point here. Oops. Just highlight from here. So you find it in some books, this discussion of what is the who is superior, you know, what's the metaphysical status of human beings vis-a-vis angels. And so here it says, هذه مسألة, this issue about whether the angels are superior to human beings or not, اختلف فيها أهل القبلة. So Muslims, أهل القبلة, the people who face the Qibla and pray, considered to be Muslims. It says وهذه المسألة اختلف فيها أهل القبلة وقالت المعتزلة. The Mu'tazila, the kind of the school of rational theology, the school of kalam that has some excessive reliance on the intellect and based on other principles as well. They say جملة الملائكة أفضل من جملة بني آدم. The generality of the angels, the angels in general are superior than, you know, the general class of human beings. Yeah. And then he says, وَقَالَ بَعْضُ الْأَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ. And here, most likely, he's referring to the Asha'ira, most likely. But, or you just may be using Ahl al-Sunnah as just the generic term of Sunnis. Yeah. Sunni schools of Kalam. So the school of Imam Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ariyu. وإمام أبو المنصور الماتريدي رحمهم الله. جملة بني آدم أفضل من جملة الملائكة. But others have replied saying no, the human beings in general, the general class, the general tabaka of human beings are superior than the jumlat al-malaika. Well, madhhab al-murtada, perhaps the most preferred position on this matter, أن خواص بني آدم وهم مرسلون أفضل من جملة الملائكة. But perhaps المذهب المرتضى, perhaps the most preferred position on this matter, is that the elite of human beings, the خواص, and they are the messengers عليهم السلام جميعا, may Allah's mercy be on all the messengers, they are superior than the angels. وعوام بني آدم وهم الأتقياء أفضل من عوام الملائكة. And the general human beings, which include the pious, الأتقياء, which include the pious, they are more superior than عوام الملائكة. They are more superior than the general angels. Remember, we said there's a hierarchy of angels. وخواص الملائكة أفضل من عوام بني آدم. And it may be the case that, this is the preference of the author of this quote, خواص الملائكة, the elite, the special class of the angels, are superior than عوام بني آدم, than the general hoi polloi, yeah, the generality, the general folk. Anyway, we're not here to settle any theological disputes. We're here just to go over the text's absolute essentials. And it's just, I just thought I used some commentaries. There are lots of commentaries to the text. Our job isn't to wade through all the commentaries. I'm just giving you some points that you'll find in the commentary. Whether you agree with them or not, or you have a different understanding, that's all fine. We're not here in this course to adjudicate the theological differences that might hold within the schools of Kalam or among Sunnis. So let me just see if there was a last point that I wanted to make about angels. Maybe not. Okay, let me pause there and see what any questions people might have about angels. Again, I'm not going to rush. We'll go through how much we need to go through. Like I said, I don't want to be the one who keeps talking for too long. So we just now covered in brief belief in the angels. Okay, cool. So what we'll do then, we'll move on to the belief in the books. And then that would take us up bi-idhnillahi ta'ala to the hour. Oh, let me see if there's a question. Okay, cool. Oh, there was a message here, but we can still judge with the mind that angels are mumkin na'aqli. Yeah. I covered that. Yeah, but you're right. It's mumkin na'aqli means that is it rational from the mind that beings that are non-extended in space, a non-physical beings, exist? Can the mind come to a conclusion that there's a general class of things that can be categorized, general class of entities that are not extended in space, for sure? Yes, I did say I wanted to share the notes. No apologies at all. Wallah, there's no reason to apologize at all. I did say, you're right. I did say I was going to share the notes. I'm going to share them with admin, and I'll do that today. Today's notes and last week's notes, and then hopefully that can get sent out. My apologies if I said, no lack of adab, la abadan. I will send them out, and my apologies for that. Inshallah, I'll give it to admin today, and then the admin can send it out. Excellent. All right. So we had some discussion here about angels. Now it's about belief in the books. So the Sheikh continues and he says, the next article is belief in the books. This is to believe in all the books revealed by Allah. The main books are four. The main books are four: the Torah of Moses, the Psalms of David, the Gospel of Jesus, and the Quran of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathira. Though divinely revealed, the Torah, Psalms, and Gospel have been altered by men, and their laws were abrogated and superseded by the Quran, which was the last revealed book. Its injunctions remain valid for all times. So the next article of faith then is قَوْلُهُ وَكُتُبِهِ, to believe in the books. يعني آمنت بكتب الله تعالى التي هي 104 كتب وأن جميعها حق. So it means to believe in the revealed books of Allah Azza wa Jal, and they amount to 104, 104 كتب, 104 sort of physical books or manifestations or parchments or whatever it is, carriers. And so, you know, this is part of the iman of a Muslim. We cannot deny that there are kutub from the previous prophets. And how do we know that? Again, it's a matter that's not seen for us, but we believe in it because it's mentioned in the Quran and it's mentioned by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And that these books are the kalam of Allah, al-qadim al-qa'im bi-dhatihi ta'ala, al-munazzahun an huruf al-aswat. So you find in the commentaries, they do mention some metaphysical discussion here about kalamullah, what is the nature of Allah's kalam here. Because all these books, the Torah, the Injil, the Zabur, all these are revealed from Allah, so they are His speech. And His speech is qadim, and it's said to be part of His essence. But being part of His essence, a lot of the theologians consider it to be munazzahun anil huruf al-aswat. But the original eternal speech of Allah does not manifest itself with letters and sounds. Yeah. And that these revealed books, are not given to all messengers. They're not given to all messengers. They are given to some chosen one. Yeah? They're given to some chosen ones. And so, as it's mentioned here, it says, وَالْكُتُبِ الْمُنَزَّلَةِ أَلَّتِي هِيَ مِئَةٌ وَأَرْبَعَ كُتُبٌ. These are all the speech of Allah. And then our duty is أَعْتَقِدُ ذَلِكَ وَأُصَدِّقُ أَنَّ جَمِيعَهَا حَقٌ. Our job is to believe, have conviction in these books that they are real. They are real. They were real. And not to have any doubt in them. And then it mentions وَأَنَّ الْأَرْبَعَ كُتُبٌ كِبَارٌ وَالْمِئَ صُحُفٌ. And out of these 104, it mentions that four are books, are the major sort of texts. وَالْمِئَ صُحُفٌ. And 100 are parchments. So the four books are the Torah. وَأَنَّ التَّوْرَاةَ أُنزِلَتْ عَلَى مُوسَى عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. We know that the Torah was revealed to Musa عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. وَالزَّبُورِ عَلَى دَاوُودَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. And the Psalms revealed to Nabi Dawood alayhi salam. Wal Injila ala Isa alayhi salam. And on the Prophet Jesus was revealed the Injil, which is generally translated as the Gospels. Specialists will tell us it's quite not the case, but let's just call it Gospels. Wal Quran ala Nabiyyina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَعَشَرٌ مِّن صُحُفِ الْأُنزِلَتْ عَلَى آدَمَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ وَخَمْسُونَ عَلَى شِيثْ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. So 10 of the suhuf, the scrolls or parchments, were revealed to Adam عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. 50 to Nabi Sheath, which is not mentioned in the Quran, but is mentioned in the Hadith, which is a very interesting story, the son of Adam عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. one of the sons of Adam, alayhi salam, our father, wa thalathuna ala Idris, alayhi salam, 30 on Nabi Idris, wa asharun ala Ibrahim, alayhi salam, which is mentioned in Surah Al-A'la, wa jami'uha nazala biha Jibreelu, alayhi salam. All these were revealed by Jibreel, alayhi salam. We mentioned the article about belief in the angels, because the angels do Allah's bidding. They reveal the books to the prophets and they never make a mistake. So the angels don't mistakenly get it mixed up. You might get mixed up in Amazon warehouse, right? But never with the angels, alayhim as-salam. Whomever Allah gives them as their target, they will deliver it without fail. And to believe, if a Muslim believes that angels made any mistake with taking revelation, they got the tracking wrong. وَلِعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ This is kufr. Muslims believe that this is kufr. This is a belief that is false. And then the author says, وَلَكِنَّ الْقُرْآنَ الْعَظِيمَ أُنزِلَ بَعْدَ الْجَمِيعِ وَحُكُمُهُ بَاقٍ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ Then the Quran al-Majid, this majestic Quran, unzila ba'd al-jami', it came after all of these books and parchments, everything else. وَحُكُمُهُ بَاقٍ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ And the judgment is, the ruling is that the hukum is that the Quran will abide until the end of time. It will remain until the end of time. And this is the belief of all Muslims. And the Quran has come with the perfect manifestation of the message that Allah Azza wa Jal wanted to give. And the Quran's role here is musaddiqan wa muqarriran. It's come to affirm and attest to the truths of the prior revelations that have been corrupted. Because it says here, though divinely revealed, the Torah, the Psalms, and the Gospel have been altered by men. They have. And the laws were abrogated and superseded by the Quran. And this is part of our iman. That the shari'atuhu sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallama akmalu shara'i wa deenuhu nasikhul adiyan. This is in part of the creed, Takmilu al-Iman, of Imam al-Dahlawi, Imam Muhaddith Abdul Aziz al-Dahlawi. He says that the Sharia of Muhammad, Afdalu Salat wa Atamu Taslim, Akmalu Shara'i, it is the most perfect Sharia. Wa Deenuhu Nasikhul Adiyan. And this religion of our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the final Islam, is nasikhul adiyan. It's come to abrogate all other religions. And so it's come to abrogate for sure, but it's also come to musaddiq and muqarrir. It's come to affirm and attest. As the commentator says, صدق الكتب الإلهية قبل. It came to affirm the truths of all prior revelations. وَمُبَيِّنًا هُدَى كُلِّ كِتَابٍ فِي وَقْتِهِ And the Quran has come to explicate the messages that are in and come to clarify the message in these books that came for their time. And then he says, وَحُكُمُهُ بَاقٍ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ وَحُكُمُهُ it means Al-Quran al-fadiqu bayn al-haqq wal-batil. That this Quran is a criterion between what is true and false. There is no other acceptable criterion. The mind is not the criterion. A bunch of overweight men with ties mainly, sitting in a parliament or in some council or in some senate or some chamber, they're not the criterion. Ulama are not the criterion. No man of cloth is a criterion. Not even all the cleverest people on the planet put together, are the criterion. Criterion is revelation. is the Quran. This is the criterion of what is allowed and not allowed, i.e. what is halal and haram, what is husn and qubh, what is morally repugnant and what is morally good. There's a criterion for all these things, for ethics and law. And it's baqin ila yawm al-qiyamah, it will remain until yawm al-qiyamah, meaning la yunsakhu abadan. Hatta nabiy Allah Isa alayhi salam la yahkumu illa bihi. So we believe that this Quran can never be abrogated, la yunsakhu abadan, such that Nabi Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam la yahkumu illa bihi. Even Prophet Jesus alayhi salam will have to judge with the Quran. Can you see? So this is what we believe. This is what we believe. So some of them say, and we'll look at this in the when we look at the beliefs on the prophets, that why would Isa alayhi salam come and rule with the Sharia? لأن شريعته عليه السلام قد نسخت فلا يكون إليه وحي نصب أحكام بل يكون خليفة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم. That's because Isa عليه السلام's revelation has been abrogated by the coming of our Sharia, by the Sharia that is part of Islam. There are no further revelations to come. There's no more wahi that's going to come down. And so Nabi Isa alayhi salam will be like a representative of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like a Khalifa to Rasulullah. Okay. So that kind of mentions that. Now it's funny that it's interesting that the commentator mentions a fa'ida, some sort of point to consider here. He says, عدد آيات القرآن 666 آيات. So he says that the Quran is 6,000 is 6,600 وستون آيات, and 66 verses. ألف وعد, 1,000 of these verses are about, you know, wa'd, promises. وألف وعيد, and 1,000 are about Allah's sanctions and punishments to come. وألف أمر, 1,000 are to do with commands. وألف نهي, and 1,000 are to do with prohibitions. وألف قصص, 1,000 are to do with stories and narrations. وألف خبر وعبر وأمثال, and 1,000 is to do with like informing us about previous things. وعبر and lessons, وأمثال and similitudes and parables and things like that. وخمسمائة حلال وحرام, 500 are to do with أحكام related to, directly related to حلال وحرام. ومائة دعاء, 100 are to do with supplications. وتسبيح and making glorification of Allah. وستون وستون, 66 ناسخ ومنسوخ, abrogating or abrogated. So that's some interesting sort of statistics there for you. Some people, this is of course just a sort of kind of rough cut mention of the Quran, containing these 6,666 verses, kind of 666 going on there. And then some people try to, you know, investigate and came to some general sort of apportioning of the Quran. And so that amounts to 666. Anyway, I'll finish there. And what we will do for next week, we'll go to the belief in the messengers, because there are some points I want to mention. We're going to need a whole lesson for that. So just to recap, just to recap, we covered very briefly belief in angels, belief in the books. And these are the essentials that we need to know about them. And then I just went through some glosses on the text of Islah Ilm al-Hal, and thought I'd share some kind of commentary points. Again, this is a generic, but we hope it was beneficial. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this session from us, to make us firm and make our iman firm, and to make us act on what we've learned. Akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. I'll open up to any further questions or comments you might have. Let me just see in the box if there is. Even as you see, even though we're going through the basic essentials, there are still some important points that we need to be aware of. Of course, we're not scholars. I'm speaking for myself. I can't speak for your hal, and I'm sure those on the other side are far more knowledgeable than me on this side. But I'm just speaking for myself, being a bit a beginner student, that these, that even within the sort of basic essentials, there's still some important sort of points that require us to know for us to better understand even these absolute essentials. And so obviously if Allah gives us the tawfiq to study the kind of more higher level books, intermediate to higher level books, then inshallah we would gain more knowledge. But even now, I think, you see it still requires there's some additional levels of knowledge that we require to understand the essentials. But alhamdulillah, it does help us remember a lot. So alhamdulillah, that's that covers us for this, and then we're going to do the prophets, which is there are some important things we need to mention about them. Again, we're not, as I will mention next week, we're not going to be delving too deep into it. But I think it's important to mention. I'm going to mention this in the context of some contemporary polemics. And that I think are important for us to be aware of. I know this course isn't about polemics, but it's important for us to also, if we're studying theology, to contextualize it for our relevance. Often we don't really discuss angels because it's not a topic of apologetics. No one's attacked Islam because of our doctrines on angels, So that's why it falls under off our radar, belief in Malaika. But belief in the books, some of it crops up, especially about the Quran and how it relates to the previous revelations and things like that. Let me just see if there's a question there. Will we speak about the necessity of prophethood? Yeah, I want to talk about some dalail al-nubuwa, some proofs for the prophethood of our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And I'll be going through that a bit as well, yeah. Inshallah. I think it's very, very important. So the reason why I was just mentioning is where, this is not a course for the evidence, Islamic evidences for aqidah. We're going for the absolute essentials that will come in the middle and higher level sort of texts. But we need to be aware of situating our creed within a context. We don't want to study the absolute, whatever level, absolute, intermediate, or high level. We don't want to study theology divorced from reality. Some discussions are abstract. I agree. They are abstract and they have no connection to reality. That's true, because they're very rarefied and things like that. But we need to be aware of how theology sits in and how creed sits in a broader context. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah for your positive comments. I think Aqidah Tahawiyyah will probably come under, I know it's classed as a basic text, but the commentaries on it can be quite detailed. So yeah, I would say sort of lower, high, intermediate text, we're probably looking at Aqidah Tahawiyyah. And then it will depend what commentary one uses to teach the text. I think I mentioned this before, but the most exciting stuff is in the sam'iyat, is in the beliefs part. This is where you get the meaty stuff. This is really where the philosophical reasoning, if anyone's interested in all of that, this is where the application becomes, you know, really, really important. But a lot of people focus on the existence of God, and then, you know, it's kind of the natural theology stuff. Like, can we prove that God exists? And we look at the arguments. All the exciting stuff for me personally is when you go into Revelation. How then, you know, do you piece it all together? You believe in it with yaqeen, with conviction, but you want to make some sense of it. You want to make some sense of it. You want to get to the parameters of the belief. Okay. Alhamdulillah, if there's no final reflections or thoughts, we'll wrap it up there. And then we will pick it up next Thursday, where we'll be looking at the belief in the messengers and what are their key attributes and what kind of attributes they cannot have, i.e. it's impossible for them to have. And then we'll look at some proofs of the prophethood, bi-idhnillah, and then hopefully that should give us some broad coverage of this article of belief. So until our next session, jazakumullahu khairan for joining us and for your comments and for your discussion. Narakum ala khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.